You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning, this is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, I'm really fortunate to be able to share the stories, the expertise and the knowledge of business leaders large and small with you, the listener. And this week is going to be no different. On today's show, we're talking about innovation and giving STEM businesses that all the foundations they need to grow. And to do that, we're joined by a wonderful organisation. We're joined by Martine and also Claudia of Creo Incubator, who are just a wonderful organisation that we're going to hear all about over the rest of the show. This is the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I really look forward to introducing our two guests after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, today we're joined by a really wonderful organisation and we're going to be talking about innovation and giving STEM businesses all the foundations to grow. So let's start by introducing our two guests. Firstly, Martine, can I pick on you first? Thank you so much for joining us. For those who haven't heard of you or indeed your business, please introduce yourself.
Hi, Ben. Thank you so much for having us on Get Radio. It's a pleasure to be here. So my name is Martine and I'm the founder of Creo Incubator. We're an organization that is focused on helping and supporting STEM businesses in particular grow their businesses. As you've said basically earlier, we focus on the learning and development angle of that, supporting them with like micro courses, coaching, and learning support. And we've worked with different organizations, universities, including in the Oxfordshire area, to really try to reach a wider audience, both on a local in a local context, but also on a more global reach that hopefully we'll get to talk a bit more about.
No, really, really looking forward to it. And Claudia, for those who don't know you, introduce yourself.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ben. It's a pleasure to be here this morning on Get Radio. So I'm the Learning and Development Lead at Creo Incubator. So I'm really involved in designing programs, but also delivering them. And we do that online, digitally, but also live. So live online workshops, but also programs, live workshops in the classroom.
Amazing, amazing. Again, lots to learn about over the show. Martine, you've kindly volunteered to choose a song for our listeners this morning. So what is your song choice and why have you picked it?
Oh, so that song is very special to me. I discovered it in an airport, actually, one day, and it is called Baby by Dacha Bracha. Dacha Bracha is an indie Ukrainian band that I came to discover very randomly, again, at an airport, like heading to DC. And it became like a very important song to me, to the point that even my daughter was born on to this song. Like at the theater, they let you choose what song you want to have. And it was the one I went to. I love the music. I love how the instruments are coming together. I don't understand anything about the lyrics. I just love the sound of it, really.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. It's great to hear a new song on the radio. Thank you so much for that recommendation, Martine. If you are just tuning in, we're joined by Martine and Claudia of Creo Incubator, who are a wonderful organisation here in Oxfordshire. So, Martine, I'm just going to start with quite a big question, if that's okay, just to kind of set the tone. What are some of the foundations that STEM businesses really do need in order to be able to thrive?
That's a very good question indeed. And something we've always noticed, especially when we work with STEM founders, is that they have got the scientific foundations very clearly defined, very solid foundations. What we notice in most cases, what is missing is really that transition from the scientific mindset into the entrepreneurial mindset. And the mindset itself is really not to be underestimated, especially when it comes to working with academics, for example. Because the way the academic life is wired is very much focused on like publications, for instance, rather than focusing on the commercialization of research. So having that mindset in the first place is quite necessary. And this comes with a set of other skills that one need as a business owner, as you already know, Ben, you're a very successful one. And this like those elements of like a grit, resilience, like having the ability to take the thing to market. So this is one aspect, but also understanding how to go about taking the research and commercializing it, whether that is via preclinical studies, what are the steps, getting the right funding at the right time to be involved. So there are so many different elements to it, and we really like to focus on early stage because we know this is also like where some of the most important gaps happen between the academic environment and getting to the actual commercialization aspect. And this is what we refer to as kind of like the first valley of death, in a way. So we really like to work in supporting that element in particular.
Amazing, amazing. And certainly we can really see this. I think that most businesses set up because they're really passionate about X in the STEM space. They really want to solve this or invent this or study this. But actually, some of those foundations that we need to run a successful business aren't necessarily natural. So it's amazing to hear about some of the work that you do there. Claudia, I'm just really keen to build on the on this from a learning and development point of view. What do you see as some of the main barriers to learn? What are some of those barriers, and what are some of those things that STEM founders can consider in order to be able to gain the most from your support and learning, and general support and learning?
Yeah, I mean, again, that's a very good question. And that's a question we ask people on courses. When we look at the foundational knowledge, it's knowledge about the business, but a very important part is self-knowledge. So this is what we call like a meta skills to really inquire yourself into your autopilots. You know, what gets in the way might be that you work in a mode, in a mindset, in a way of going about things that you have been trained for very good reasons and that are very important at science. So it's about how you do things to really step back and think, okay, it's a new setting, a new context. What has served me well in the scientific context? What continues to serve me well? That's important. But also, how can I maybe change things a little bit? And it's really more about adapting. We're not asking people to become different people. It's about taking all the aspects, all the learning, etc. So yeah, so a barrier, I think, is a lack of self-knowledge, and in particular around interpersonal skills, I think. You know, your impact on others, things like that.
Absolutely. No, really, really fascinating. And that's something that I'd really love to build on actually throughout this show. But before that, Martine or Claudia, I don't mind who wants to take this one. I think it'd be really good for those who aren't familiar with you as an organization, just to talk through what some of your programs might look like, and really give that flavor of what would a journey look like for a founder to work with you. And I appreciate there isn't necessarily one size fits all, but it'd be good to give that flavor.
Yeah, that's an important one to put things in context. So what we've been doing so far is that we have been working with organizations to deliver entrepreneurship training programs for their founders, their students, their employees, even or including in the government sector. So what we do is that we co-create the program with a particular organization, and it could be like a 6 months online program where every week you have new courses, mini courses being released on our digital platform, and also having access to live workshops with experts from our Creo network of experts. And you can also have access to like mentorship and or coaching depending on specific programs. And after like 6 months, it could be, for example, in one of the programs we've run, you end up also having a boot camp in person where you're coming together, doing like deep dives, deep work into, for example, like financial projections or like rethinking some elements of your business growth and the scaling aspect, the go-to-market strategy. So it really depends on the program. However, we do have some good news. In January, we're going to be releasing our very first open incubation program that is going to be accessible to all founders to apply to in the STEM field, in particular life sciences and health. So anything that is that fits under this umbrella, from vaccines to drug development to medical devices and so on, we have it on our website. And any founder that fits the eligibility criteria is going to be able to like apply directly with us rather than via an organization.
Oh wow, how exciting. And really, really look forward to watching that. We maybe have to have you back in a year's time so we can find out all about how that's gone. Claudia, I'm really keen now to talk a little bit about learning styles, if that's okay, because I appreciate, and I'm being very stereotypical here, but I appreciate that a lot of founders within the STEM sector are often would be classed as technicians on a personality profile, would be often highly intelligent, but some of the business skills may not come as naturally. How do you I guess work with those individuals based on their learning styles, and how can founders learn in different ways, if that makes sense? I'm just really keen to build on learning styles.
Yeah, I mean, as you know, having a scientific founder with Martine, our approach to learning in terms of content is very scientific, you know, that we look at evidence-based resources and share those. And, you know, we use kind of scientific language as well. So when we do activities or encourage people to try to do things differently, it's experiments, you know. And in a way, you know, I use this language in the past when I worked as a coach in other industries as well. So it really that the scientific language actually really helps with behavior change and adapting new learning. And then, but we also make it very engaging. That's very important, you know, for adult learners. So we take an adult learning approach that shows that connecting what you learn to your experience is really important for adult learners to embed it into their professional practice. So it's yeah. So it's really that approach, how we approach content and how we approach the delivery of the content live or online. But then there's also the learning styles that sit with the person, and that can be their profession, yeah, so their scientific background. And I'll actually double click and deep dive on that a little bit, because very interestingly, I was really interested a few years ago, one of the Nobel Prize winners for chemistry said that he actually sometimes takes quite a playful approach to make a decision of which avenue to pursue. So, and that sort of links to, you know, we do use gamification as well to sort of bring concepts home. So I was talking about the individual learning styles. So how do people approach learning? Do you, and that can be, how do they take it in terms of visual, listening to things? So we're very inclusive there in the way we present content, how it looks, the feel of it. You know, people who are more visual or people who like more audio or who like to read or like to read a lot before or after. Yeah, so that's in a nutshell how we work with that.
Amazing. No, really, really great insight. I'm really enjoying the conversation. Let's have a song and we'll continue the conversation after this.
Interviewing Oxfordshire's business leaders. This is the Business Brunch Podcast, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Build relationships with the ultimate goal of growing your business. obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, definitely head over to the Get Radio website and listen back to the podcast version. Because today we're joined by Martine of Creo Incubator and also her colleague Claudia. So if we could just give a recap, I think we've spoken a lot about the programs you offer. We've spoken about the importance of learning styles and having those right foundations to thrive. Martine, I'm keen to go full circle, if that's okay, and talk about exit. So I think we're looking quite a long way away. We all know that that a lot of STEM businesses are eventually sold, and there is that exit piece. How important is it for the founder to have those inspirational skills and those business skills once we get to that point of exit? Or to be fair, a sub point we could talk about could be funding rounds in terms of being able to influence and inspire and engage investors. How important is that?
Very, very important, especially at early stages, because at early stages where you don't necessarily yet have the fully fledged business and product yet, it's still an idea. Sometimes it's still an idea. Other times it's more like a proof of concept. So having that ability to pitch, to tell your story, to know how to address investors, and really like being able to speak that lingo, that jargon, understanding what it means, the different funding rounds, the different term sheets, what is a data room, how do I approach all of this process without feeling overwhelmed by it, is quite important to inspire confidence in investors, but also to gain that confidence yourself. And sometimes it means also like teaming up with others to have the right team in place in many cases to be able to inspire that confidence again. So when we think about exit, and I think, Ben, this is an excellent question, it's not something that we should probably be thinking about just, you know, like 10 years later. It is something that we try, at least in our programs, to encourage founders to think about from day one. What does it look like for you? What is like your 5-year plan? What does it look like for you in 10 years? Do you imagine yourself still running the business? Do you imagine that you're actually exiting it? If so, how are you going to get there? What are the milestones that you need to have in place in order to reach that position? And of course, I do appreciate that in early stages, it's not going to be as obvious, but at least being attuned to the importance of that and like starting to have a form of a strategic plan in place that is rather longer term is essential. And when it comes to STEM, and in particular life sciences, it's slightly different than other sectors and industries. When you think about like fintech, for example, it's much quicker, like the cycles are quicker and so on. But like in life sciences, it might be like 7-10 years plus, you know. And this is like, I'm giving you the shorter lifespan, if this is like the right word, really. And even to breaking even, you need that amount of time because you have a lot of things to go through to prove your concept, first of all, to do all the experiments, to overcome all the regulatory procedures in place. So to get to that point, it takes time, it takes patience, it takes also the right funding in place that is usually like that requires usually like deeper pockets than in some other industries and sectors. And this is why, again, having those skills, the founder skills, the interpersonal skills, is so important to be able to navigate that both with the investor and the stakeholders and the market, but also, as Claudia said earlier, on a personal like self level. Yes. Being able to like really get through that journey and be prepared for it.
No, really good, really good. One of the things that was touched on earlier in the show, when particularly talking about your programs, was mentorship. And I think that we can all learn so much from people that have been there and done it, and people that have been within our sector and have maybe different ways of thinking or different experience. How important is it for any business, but let's talk particularly about STEM, to have that mentor and to have that network, that support network around you in terms of experts, but also that peer-to-peer piece? How important is that?
It's a very important piece, really. Whether it is like the peer-to-peer learning, literally it could be sometimes from like other people in the cohort that are going through the same program with you, because you might have knowledge in one particular aspect, but not the knowledge in another one. So let's say like dealing with policymakers or like understanding regulations, but maybe someone else in that same cohort, they have already done this exact step because you're slightly at an earlier stage. So having that peer-to-peer element within the same cohort is something we focus on a lot. And we usually try to start our workshop always with like a learning circle where we exchange the learnings during the week. What are the highs? What are the lows? And what can we learn from each other? So this is one aspect of the peer-to-peer element. But there is, of course, the mentorship aspect that you touched on. And this is not necessarily from the same cohort, but this is from other successful business mentors that have been through the journey, that have done that. I myself also like, I try to be engaged in the mentorship element as well, because I also like to get to know the founders that are going through the programs and to support as much as I can from that aspect. And having that experience, of course, is very important. And this is where our network of experts come into place for different topics. And more recently, we were at a conference in Manchester, and we talked about the importance of not only mentorship, but also coaching. On that, maybe, I don't know if Claudia, you would like to to like explain the differences between both and why both could be complementary as well.
Yeah, I think that would be really good to double click on that, because in my experience, you know, mentoring is really important and there's a lot that can be shared. And my observation is in the sort of innovation ecosystem that mentoring is the default and it's really important. It has a lot of benefits. But in some situations, it's also useful to combine that with more of a coaching approach. So for the mentors to have that self-knowledge I talked about earlier, to step back and develop that situational awareness. When is a mentoring approach, giving advice approach appropriate? And when is it more a coaching approach, which is more asking questions? Yeah, so the sort of the tell versus ask, that's the kind of dance you do as a mentor, and decide on that. Because, you know, the experience might be 5-10 years ago when AI was sort of, well, maybe around, but not sort of so accessible to everyone as it is today. And really work with the people on their self-knowledge and potential blocks, etc. So it's really that mix and that melange of coaching approaches through questions plus the mentoring, which is very successful, which is great. Yeah.
No, really, really interesting. Just a sub point there. You touched on AI, and you set yourself up there, Claudia. Sorry. I think I've seen a lot of studies recently, particularly within young people, but also in the world of business, in terms of the efficiencies that we can gain through the use of AI and technology. But also, I think something you touched on there, albeit in a slightly different context, is the importance of us building our own knowledge and our own skill set and things that you can gain through your program. What's your view on the blend of AI? And Martin, you may wish to give your view as well in terms of the blend of using AI, but also ensuring that we are really training and supporting and encouraging that our own knowledge development, both of ourselves and indeed our own teams. Just a sub question that I was really keen to build on.
Yeah, so I'll briefly give my take, and then Martine can add on that. I mean, AI literacy is really critical for everyone in business, and I think that that is really the question. You know, what does it mean specifically for founders? And so we hear that a lot. You know, that this is a demand in terms of learning and development of skilling up staff. And you know, in the past, it was about media literacy. You know, the different channels or the internet sort of doing effective searches, etc. So it's not a new thing that you have to build up a kind of literacy. And yeah, so definitely very critical. So I'll pass on to Martine because she can probably answer a bit broader.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I think it's a very important question, and obviously it was going to come into the conversation as well. So what we've tried to do, I'm going to tell you from our perspective as Creo, but also like how I see it from the founder's perspective. So what we try to do at Creo is that we have created our own version of GPT that is trained on our library of 700 micro courses, and learners on the platform have immediate access to it to ask any question, to clarify the knowledge, anything that is like basically like unclear, and they would like support in the moment, in real time about. And I think this adds a lot of value, and our learners love it. You can see on our community channel, they are commenting about that and how it helped them to like locate resources and be able to answer questions and all of this. But this doesn't take away the human element that is extremely important. And this is why we always have those live workshops where like people are exchanging about their experiences. They are exchanging with each other. They are exchanging with an expert, because you can always prompt an AI and ask questions based on what you already know, but you don't really know what you don't know. And this is where the presence of an expert is really needed and is really important, because they bring in a perspective that you were sometimes completely oblivious to, and you didn't even think about it to ask, you know, like about a question about it. So you suddenly like open your eyes to a new perspective, or you hear your colleague having done something that is very human, very relatable. And sometimes what we need is really that empathy, like the listening, the relatability that we're not going to get from like AI in the educational element. But it's like AI itself is like wonderful in helping you know, identify the next unit you need to study, like mixing and matching, like on the go, answering your questions and all of that. So we love it from that efficiency perspective. Now, from the founder's perspective, of course, AI is fundamental. It's becoming even more important, both from operational perspectives to, you know, increase efficiency in your own business, but also like being included in the products. We're seeing a lot of applications of AI in healthcare and life sciences, helping in drug discovery, becoming like quicker, faster. Also, even like, I don't know, responding like the basic stuff, responding to like voicemails and stuff like that, even though sometimes it doesn't work as brilliantly as one would expect. But there are so many applications to it that could be very valuable, but we're not going to let go of the human element. And most importantly, I think as well, especially in life and life sciences and healthcare, there is a lot of unknowns yet, and many fundamental questions that we haven't answered yet. So if you already have a massive database, that's great. It's like AI helps you to get the answers. But if you don't have those databases yet, if you haven't discovered something yet, this is where like the scientist in the lab is going to be extremely needed, because you cannot be making
Absolutely.
omelets without the eggs in that sense, since we're a brunch show.
Very on theme there, Martine. Very, very good. Very good. Right, let's have another song and we'll continue the conversation
This
after
is the
this.
Business Brunch podcast from Get Radio, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, you've missed some such great content, so please do go and listen back. Today we're talking about innovation and giving STEM businesses all the foundations to grow. I'm really keen now to, without breaking kind of client confidentiality, but I think we've discussed a lot about mentorship and peer-to-peer and learning in general. If you were to look at some of the most successful founders who get the most from your programs and become the most successful in business, what are some of the traits that they share? What are some of the things that make a really good founder and make a founder that is able to really learn and develop and go on that journey through entrepreneurship?
That's a very good question. Again, I think the number one thing for me has been coachability. Really seeing that like these founders are like coachable. So you would see like a huge like learning curve and growth and improvement throughout the program. And of course, this doesn't mean that they are taking every single piece of advice they are getting on board. No, like you need to be like filtering and thinking and all of that. But coachability is more in the sense of like listening, processing the answers to the questions you're being asked, reflecting on them. If there is a good point that was raised around intellectual property, did you come back to the following session and you've done your research on that? And it's also like both coachability and momentum at the same place, at the same time. So you're like able to like drive momentum throughout the program and you're like implementing on the go. You're not just like sitting on ideas and waiting for things to happen. So being very, very driven. And I think the third element I would like to add is really spotting the opportunities. So we had once again, without breaking confidentiality, a founder that came on the on the program, and they were doing a specific idea. Then during the program, it was during the COVID period, they realized there was this huge opportunity. It was like home delivered kits to be doing tests at home. So they really like used that opportunity and jumped on it, not for COVID test, but for like another type of test for tests for like sexually transmitted diseases, STDs. And like their business boomed afterwards. And they managed to like raise a massive round and they are extremely successful. So being able to see the opportunities, to see what you can learn from other industries, what's working at the moment and how can I apply it to my own problem or what I'm trying to solve. I think this is also like an important skill that successful founders have. Being able to pivot and understand the market, not be like, if there is a major thing out of my control, then I'm just going to sit down and hope for the best.
Absolutely. What's your take on this, Claudia?
Yeah, so very much second what Martine said, of course. And so it's that learning mindset, coachability, self-coaching as well. I wanted to add that some of these traits that are important can sometimes be in conflict with each other. You know, the sort of stepping back, reflecting, self-knowledge versus being really confident, convincing investors to invest in yourself and the team, keeping the momentum going for the opportunity. And so I just wanted to add that, you know, that it's complex and that's where that self-knowledge, the reflection, you know, how do you do self-knowledge, where reflection is very important, sort of thinking about your thinking, what are your patterns, so you don't get stuck in the analysis paralysis, but you, as Martin said, you know, that pivoting the opportunity and when is the time to move forward and make a decision.
What a great point. What a great point. And I think something that's very typical within your sector, and you'll both know a vast more than I, is that I think in any business, there are knockbacks, aren't there? But I think particularly when you're a business that is going through funding circles or funding rounds and going for grants and looking to speak to investors, there are a lot of no's, and resilience is a really important thing to build. Is it how can you go about building resilience or giving yourself that support network to be able to have that confidence to go again? Because actually, we all know when we're sat in front of investors, we need to be on on our A game in order to be to give ourselves the best chance of being successful. What's both of your takes on that piece?
Yeah, shall I go first? I see Martina. Yeah. So, just building on it, the self-knowledge part of that is also knowing your strengths. Mm-hmm. So using your strengths as much as possible and build your business around the strengths as you sort of maybe adjust and pivot for the future. Then having that community relationships, peer network, support networks. And I think routines and habits are also quite important. And that is also looking at the bigger picture, you know, to realize, okay, this is a point in time situation. You know, what is the bigger picture? What are the other opportunities? So you don't get into that tunnel vision of this experience. I think it's those, again, sort of their sort of meta skills, what perspective you take. And as I think we have a video version, you know, which glasses you wear depends on what you see. So I've just been taking on and off my glasses for the radio listeners. So yeah, you know, how you look at things means how you see things. So that ability to change perspectives.
And what's your take, Martin?
Yeah, from a founder's perspective, I think it's quite important. It's first of all, I need to acknowledge that it's a very difficult thing. You know, it's easier like said than done. But I think it's also quite important not to go very much on the emotional roller coaster where we're like extremely hyped with the highs and extremely like down with the lows, because it is going to happen a lot in the founder's life. Yes, you're going to have multiple no's that could be from investors, that could also be from clients, from tenders you've submitted, proposals, even supplier relationships sometimes, you know, like fall through. So there are a lot of challenges, there are a lot of hurdles, and it could be like simply with your product and experiments and all of that. So having that ability, that resilience that you're referring to, like to overcome that, for me, what really worked is not to be like very affected by the highs and the lows, but to try to keep steady while you're still enjoying the small wins. You're still like celebrating that, you're not ignoring them, but you're not letting yourself be, you know, extremely affected by it. So this is not from like an L&D perspective. I'm telling you this from a personal perspective.
No, absolutely. And it's really, really good advice. Certainly, you know, from my own perspective, albeit I'm out of your sector of running the business for 12 years, I genuinely think that our biggest knocks have been the point where we've made the biggest leap forward in our business. And I always think that where there's a difficulty or a difficult market, there's such an opportunity to take market share and improve and use technology and improve yourself as an individual. So certainly, as you say, it's a lot easier said than done, but it's definitely definitely something to consider. We are coming to the final stint of the show, but one of the things I really love to leave our listeners with is a lasting tip, so a single tip, and it doesn't necessarily need to be something new, something we've not discussed. It can be, but just one thing that you would love our listeners to leave in the top of their notepad with a highlighter atop above it as their lasting note. I'll start with you first, Claudia, if that's okay. What would be your lasting tip for our founder listeners to remember?
Yeah. Focus on the learning. So two aspects to that. So we know from motivation research that if we focus on what we learn, it's more motivating for us to achieve our goals. So when you have goals, also formulate the underlying learning. And then the last point about resilience, you know, what are you learning from this setback that's useful in the future? So that's what I would say.
Such good advice. And last but not least, Martine, what's your lasting tip?
I'm going to build back on that. I'm going to say that every no creates a space for a yes. And I would also say never pitch from a place of disempowerment. This is a saying I heard a couple of years ago, and it really like was stuck with me, that it's very important to like Even in failure, even in challenges, it's really important to understand what you learn from that, exactly what Claudia said, and then bring that energy out again.
Amazing. No, great advice. Great advice. And what a great way to end the show. I can't believe how quickly it's gone. It's been such a fascinating conversation, which I'm sure our listeners will have loved. So thank you both so much for your time and giving such contribution to really fascinating discussion. If you are just tuning in, I would definitely recommend heading over to socials, head over to the Creo Incubator's website, and do check out Martine and Claudia. They do some wonderful work and really look forward to following their progress over the coming months and years. Just a reminder, you can listen to this show every Sunday on the radio or online at 11 a.m. There is also a podcast version which is available on every major podcast platform and is released on the Monday morning. And if you would like to see my lovely guest, do look out for the video version, which is released on the Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. And we are going to be back next week with a brand new topic impacting on local businesses. So we're going to be talking about impactful storytelling. And to do that, we're joined by Aftercloud, who are an award-winning Oxfordshire business. So really looking forward to that. But for now, whatever you're doing, enjoy, and we'll see you next week.